Thank you very much, Alan, and certainly it's a pleasure to be back at Alpha. We attended the last meeting you had and had a lot of interest in our program. I want to thank Maureen and Alan for organizing this. It's really important that we continue to highlight Gulf of Mexico research that's gone on to date, what's going to happen next. You know, I think it's really great that Alpha comes to New Orleans. This is, as Linda was alluding to and Bernie touched on, the resilience issues that are faced by this community are massive, not just the oil spill, not just hurricanes, but the fact that this is the front line for sea level rise, that we are the test bed in the for the United States about the psychosocial issues that I think are going to face our communities in Miami and Savannah, Charleston, Baltimore, New York. You can go on up the coastline, and Linda just alluded to tsunami issues. So we're delighted you're here. We'll hope you'll come back again because Louisiana is a great state. I'm going to give you a brief overview of the Gulf of Mexico Research Initiative. Many of you have heard some of this before. I'll give you enough just to keep people who haven't up to speed with it, but I'll focus on what we are finding and where we're going next. We were told to put this slide in our talk. I haven't seen anybody do it, so Linda and Bernie, what's the deal here? The only relationship I have to disclose is I've been married for 37 years, and I'm still very happy, and I hope my wife is, too. It's really important as we shape the framework of what we're doing, we distinguish the different groups that are being funded to do research and why, and this is to remind you that about a month into the spill, BP made this really dedicated commitment to fund research over a 10-year period at a rate of $50 million per year, totally separate from any penalties, fines, or litigation. This was a process where they announced the scientific leaders of a board that were going to guide this program. It eventually grew to 20. They set a framework into motion in collaboration with the White House and the Gulf Coast governors, turned it loose, and we just simply keep them informed. I've added these bullets to distinguish that we are not part of the Natural Resource Damage Assessment or the Clean Water Act, although we are aware of that, and we keep the federal agencies involved, aware of what we're doing. We're not part of the National Academy of Science, which Chris will talk about in a minute, nor are we part of the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. The important part is that, and part of the reason we're here, is we all collaborate on work going forward, so we don't duplicate and we maximize synergism. A really important part of our program that Chris didn't have the benefit of, and she's working through that now and she'll tell us about it, is that we were handed, the Gulf of Mexico Research Initiative was handed a mission statement. You can see that here. It was handed a group of themes I'll talk about in a second, but it really helped jumpstart the program. It gave us that template and guidance of how we were going to have to operate over this 10-year period. I think many of you have seen this before. These are the classic oceanographic research disciplines tied into an event such as an oil spill. To them are added technology, and I'm really delighted to see that public health is part of that oceanographic discipline that we define now, because we are part of the ecosystem that we study. These themes can be and will be adjusted by the board over time as they see fit as research is done and new findings occur. Give you a quick synopsis of what we've done to date. And the slide, we keep adding to it, so we're going to have to change it. But briefly, the investments to date are that shortly after the spill, BP pushed out $45 million to Gulf states and to NIEHS as a gift to begin doing research. I mean, just get people out in the field and get working. And Linda was alluding to how important it is we get research going in the field as quickly as possible. The board funded a little bridge program to keep people in the field that second summer. And then in year two, the board made its first large consortium award. They funded eight groups, gave out $110 million, and those groups are just coming to the conclusion of their first 3 years of research. Most will have a no-cost extension for a year. In year three of the program, there was another material competition. We had had a review of over 400 proposals to select small investigator awards. These are small teams that didn't participate in the larger consortium, and the board made an award of $20 million to 19 groups for that program. Years 6 to 8, the board just announced its award of 12 new consortium at $140 million. Those contracts are under development now. And they'll begin their research in January. And years 7 to 10 of the program will begin in 2016, and that RFP just went out. I'll tell you about that towards the end of the talk. As of the commitment made last Friday, the board will have awarded $318 million of the $500 million that's been set aside by BP for this massive effort. At the bottom of the slide, I wanted to highlight that a very important part of this program is that the board capture the metrics of the productivity and provide the public with access to those publications. So as of, and a new number is we're right at 400 research peer-reviewed publications or book chapters have come out and over 1,850 scientific presentations at meetings around the country. All this information is accessible on our website. You can go to the website and actually find specific manuscripts using or publications using keywords and dig into the data set that we're building. A very important part of our program, a legacy of the program, and the number of graduate students being supported, and we're well over 700 now. This is just a map of where the Gomery Enterprise touches research programs around the country. The topics on the map are the different things that are being studied by a variety of different groups. We're also in five countries, Alaska and Hawaii, so Gomery has developed a massive footprint. The red pluses are where the primary contractors are, and the blue dots are co-investigators on those projects. Give you just a quick summary of some of the things that are going on, and we'll talk about some of the specific research results, but two of our consortia are looking at the fine scale behavior of oil and oil in dispersants as it rises to the surface. And Linda, of interest, one of the observation has been that as droplets are at the soil, at the surface, and a breaking wave hits that oil, these little submicron particles of oil droplets are projected into the air and don't come back down. These are below the selectivity of the masks that the workers use, and so we have a group now spinning up to look at that. But they actually have pictures of these oil droplets coming up into the water column that may explain some of those respiratory observations your group made. Two consortia on the right-hand side of the screen are modeling plume formation. We all heard about the plume during the oil spill. Use this underwater river of oil. Turns out it was not an underwater river of oil, but it was a dispersant plume. That is, the physics causes that to separate out, and they're modeling that. That's very interesting work. Just a few random pictures of work that's underway that falls under land and sea fate of the oil. Upper left hand is an oil paddy. Many people along the Gulf Coast, down at Grand Isle or over on the Florida beaches saw these little oil paddies that were on the beach. We have people studying the chemistry of the decomposition of those oil paddies. Down the road at LUMCON, Louisiana University Marine Consortium, which is a large research lab in Louisiana, they're studying some pristine sites and some oil sites on the marsh, finding some very interesting results related to insect density, birds, fiddler crabs, and some behavior of the marsh in those areas. I'll tell you about that in a minute. Lower left, there was a lot of lesions reported in red snapper during the spill. A recent publication came out that highlighted those lesions and the decline in the abundance of lesions over the past 2 years since they peaked out immediately following the spill. They couldn't make a direct correlation to the oil spill, but it was a suspicion posed by the authors. That bottom middle picture, it may be hard to see, is a Greenland shark. Normally they are up in Greenland, but one of these was captured during one of our consortia research projects. This group is called Deep Sea. They're based out of Florida State University. And finally, the bottom right is a deep sea lander. This is some new technology developed for collecting the organic rain that was promulgated by the oil spill being degraded by bacteria and creating marine snow, and they were out trapping that snow as it fell down. So that's actually led to an interesting research group that we are putting together with all the consortia as a ad hoc work group. It's really hard to visualize, out of all these projects, the kind of work being done. I need to update this slide with the newest successful proposals, but if you take all the tasks of all the projects that we funded in RFP1 and RFP2 and develop a word cloud, it's just a way of visualizing what the big topics are of interest. Yeah, thank you. So you can see modeling oil spill effects, consumption, communities. How do you visualize all that? I'll rattle off a couple research results. Some investigators at Florida State found that the methane that emerged out with the spill, a very large portion of that was incorporated into the organic biomass of the bacterial and plankton community, extremely efficient beyond normal microbial loop standards. CMEDS here in Tulane is looking at how sugar molecules can remove oil from sand. Our investigators have reaffirmed what the Fed said during the spill, that oil pH levels in seafood are below levels of concern. LUMCON found an oxygen signal that was a good indicator of oil being present, because they were looking in hypoxic areas with oil, without oil, and they found this signature that may indicate oil being present. As I alluded a minute ago, dispersant increased the amount of oil entering into the atmosphere, a public health issue that I think we'll see more on in the future. We have groups that are looking at new indicator species. How do you find out if a place has been contaminated after the oil has disappeared from that environment? It turns out that coquina clams that we played with as kids retain that oil for a certain period of time, so they're a good indicator species. We have technology going on using satellite telemetry to better define the oil path from satellites, and this is work going at University of Miami. Some of our modelers are enhancing storm surge prediction. That's just a fallout of a drifter study that was done two summers ago. Bernie mentioned genomics research. We have several groups working in the area of genomics and looking for genomic indicators of contamination that may be carried forward into future generation. This particular study was on killifish. Some West Florida scientists modeled the fact that, yes, oil could have gotten up on the coast there. We have work going on jellyfish as conveyors of oil during the spill. And a group over in Corpus Christi, Texas, is working on zooplankton and how they interact with oil and how they behave with oil. Some are more resilient to oil than others, some species and some age classes. I mentioned the work done at LUMCON in the oiled marshes. This was really interesting. They found that the fact that the marsh was present stopped the oil from egressing up into the marsh, so it only went in about 15 meters. They also found the marsh mostly recovered after a year and a half, but where it had not recovered, it turns out that it didn't recover fast enough. The roots washed away, erosion accelerated, but they also concluded that now that has stopped and erosion rates have returned to normal rates. That's not very good in Louisiana because we are losing a lot of marsh, but there was brief acceleration. Carbon black molecule particles as a dispersant. Yes, sir. And again, I mentioned that that fish lesion study at the University of Florida, it was big news locally. Fish were being caught with lesions. They found that that appearance of lesions came and went, and now that red snapper population doesn't exhibit those any longer. One of the really important parts of our program, and Linda alluded a little bit to this in her talk, is about data collection, analysis, and accessibility. We spun up a large data management system over at the Hart Institute of Texas. The group is called GridC. Their responsibility is to develop metadata, archive the data so the public health community or other researchers can download those data for future loose use. The board's requirement is it be available a year from when it was collected or when it was published, whatever comes first. So, very important thing we spent a lot of time working on. Huge outreach program. Linda also referred to how important outreach is in the NIEHSS platform. We have a massive outreach program both at the consortium level as well at the GOMRI level. We are working with the Smithsonian and have spun up their ocean portal site to include some of our research. We're working with the four-state Sea Grant programs to help us convey science we are finding to the community, but more important, much like this community-driven science, that public health is involved, and we want to bring questions back to us for our researchers. Something else Linda alluded to I wanted to comment on, and that is building the capacity to respond to disaster. Coming out of the Deepwater Horizon spill and organizing these consortia has built the capacity in the Gulf, which I think was a vision of BP, to respond to disaster, particularly oil spill disaster. So we've got that capacity. We had a blowout here last summer. It was called Hercules. There was a concern that oil was going to be in the water. Within 24 hours, our researchers mobilized, worked with the Coast Guard, got on site, deployed drifters, and tracked that water mass over time. So they tested the hypothesis. Is can academics jump back into a very prescriptive governmental process for responding to a disaster like an oil spill? Similarly, investigators in Galveston at that Corpus Christi facility I mentioned were able to respond to a leaking tanker that had a large amount of oil come out of it. The Coast Guard let them on site. So we're seeing the wiring change where in the past, during Deepwater Horizon, they would not let scientists anywhere near the sites. We're also spinning up multi-consortia group. We're doing a hydrocarbon intercalibration experiment where we're looking at 35 different labs across the country. Everybody's analyzing the same sample to look for that QAQC of reproducibility. We have a group spinning up on marine sediment, marine snow and sedimentation, and we continue to work in dispersants by supporting those forums. I mentioned RFP5. That's our next RFP that was just released last Thursday. The letter of intents for that are due on December the 15th. You can visit our booth here at APHA and get a little flyer on that. Please go to our website. Pretty tight window, but all we're looking for is a letter of intent that gives us a title of your project and a few other details. Then you have until March 15th to submit full proposals. The intent here is to fund four or fewer investigators around a single theme area. Those awards will be announced this time next year, and funding will begin in January of 2016. And finally, I want to put a plug in for our conference. Maureen, Allen, Linda, and Bernie have all been great participants in our conference in the past. We're going to do it again in Houston this year, right in the heart of the oil and gas industry, so we're looking forward to having some inreach with that community, which is part of our target audiences. Maureen has spun up another great public health session that'll be at that conference, and we look forward to having you all there. I think I'm out of time.
I think so.
You think so?
Thank you, Chuck.